Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I often lead off by saying we do what we do because life and truth matter. In fact, oftentimes I close the broadcast by saying that. In fact, it has become the moniker for our ministry. But why do I say that? Well, we live in a post-truth culture, and it is critical that we are able to give answers, reasons for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. We need to be biblically and historically literate. We need to know how to counter cults, like the cult of Islam. But it's also critical that we experience life. The menu is not the meal. The map is not the territory. The Bible promises us that we can have life that is life to the full, and that we can experience that life now. We are destined to have fellowship within the triune God, fellowship within the triadic God, fellowship within the Trinity. And we're focused on helping people understand that that is their destiny, not only in the future, but their destiny as Christians now. That they need to partake of the graces whereby they can become by grace what God is by nature. We cannot become what God is by nature. The gap, the chasm between God and humanity is unbridgeable. But we can, as Peter said, become partakers of the divine nature. And when we do, we can then operate by a power that is in us but not of us. And that makes the task of equipping possible, because now we're operating not on our own energy, but on all His energy, which so powerfully energizes us. And today, more than ever, that is necessary. Today, our President Donald Trump will announce his pick for the Supreme Court, and Roe v. Wade anxieties are at a fever pitch. On her TV show this 4th of July, Michelle Wolf leads off the show with a salute to abortion. God bless abortions, and God bless America, she says. Women, don't forget, you have the power to give life, and men will try to control that. Don't let them. And according to Wolf, abortion is not killing a baby. Rather, abortion is simply stopping a baby from happening. So the question becomes, what is motivating this mad rush towards unlimited abortion? Could it be sex without consequences? Could it be that we have made an idol out of sexual freedom, which is not freedom at all? When you hear the culture, it becomes ever more clear and compelling that we must have an answer. You hear Michelle Wolf saying Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy recently announced he's retiring effective July 31st, the end of this month. Although it is great for his wrinkly head, she says, it could be catastrophic for reproductive rights. Why? Because it's almost certain that Trump will try to replace Kennedy with someone who would overturn Roe v. Wade. It's so ironic that Trump would be the guy that ends legal abortion. Then she goes on to say this.
Abortion, I salute you! Women, if you need an abortion, get one! If you want an abortion, get one! If you're not pregnant, but you think you eventually might be and want to order a future abortion, get one! If you're pregnant and you want to be pregnant, don't get one! It's up to you, and it doesn't have to be a big deal. It's actually a great deal. It's about $300. That's like 6 movie tickets. Movie tickets, a bad deal. And women, don't forget, you have the power to give life, and men will try to control that. Don't let them! God bless abortions, and God bless America!
Now, Michelle Wolf is a comedian, not a very good one. She doesn't even read her lines very well. But she has become an iconic figure. And she is promoting abortion. Francis Schaeffer was right in calling this the watershed issue of our time. We need to always be ready to give an answer. And we provide those answers to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's one of the reasons we ask people to stand with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life. And truth, many of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. First up is James. He's listening in Farmington, New Mexico. Hi, James.
Hello, Hank. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
My question is, I'm a Johnny Come Lately here. I just got a video of a Kim Clement, and his prophecy took place in 2007. I'd like to get Hank Hanegraaff's take on Kim Clement.
Yeah, Kim Clement was a false prophet. He purported to have a prophetic gift, but he did not. In fact, he made one false prophecy after another as he hosted his own show on the Trinity Broadcasting Network and appeared, by the way, on its flagship program, Praise the Lord. And I use the past tense because he died in 2016. But he was involved in a prevalent movement known as End Time Restoration. And that became a forum for his numerous false prophecies, his assertion that God is restoring the offices of prophet and apostle, and alleging that numerous individuals that serve in those offices are considered equal to or greater than the prophets and apostles of the Bible. And the way this is posited is by saying that if the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel were alive today, if the apostle Paul or Peter or John were alive today, they would stand in a line waiting for the autographs of today's modern prophets and apostles. Why? Because they're going to do far greater things than the biblical prophets and apostles did, including they're going to start raising the dead. And Clement was famous for saying that healings and miracles similar to those associated with A.A. Allen, a false prophet if there ever was one, Jack Coe, Benny Hinn, would all occur before the turn of the millennium. And in addition to the fact that none of these things ever came to pass, these guys that he is constantly referring to or was when he was alive were shown to be counterfeits. And again, the prophets, you know, are authenticated by their prophecies. And in his case, one failed prophecy after another. By the way, he said by the year 2002 there was going to be a cure for AIDS. He said that salvations would be so numerous that David Letterman would be talking about it. Bill Maher would be talking about it. all of that, of course, has proven to be false. So if you're attested to by your prophecies, he was attested to by his false prophecies.
Okay, I guess he got lucky on this 2007 video I have of him predicting Donald Trump would do great things as a president.
You have a video of him saying that?
Yes.
That Donald Trump would be president of the United States?
Yeah, he made this prophecy in 2007.
Yes, and that well, that'd be interesting.
You can go to his website.
I can tell you he made all kinds of false prophecies. I've checked those out. I don't know anything about what you're talking about right now, but I will check into it. If he did, you're right. He got lucky because he was wrong pretty much 100% of the time. So, you know, maybe the exception that proves the rule. I think I lost our caller. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk next to Tim in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Tim.
Hey there. How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm an admirer and appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
I've been quite the help through all the years here of my journey anyway. What I want to ask you is, you know, can we ask our Father, just like we would ask our own fathers, anything we want, within reason, of course. I'm not talking about things of the world, you know, whether it's wisdom or direction, whether it's just getting us out of a situation we're dealing with, whatever it is in life for our kids, if you know where I'm going with this here.
Yeah, absolutely, and we can. But again, God knows what is best for us. I mean, if one of your kids was 10 and asked you to buy him a Harley Davidson so he could ride it around the neighborhood, you wouldn't answer that question in the affirmative. You wouldn't say yes, because you know that that would be tantamount to a calamity, probably death. And God knows what we need a whole lot better than we do. And so we always pray for God's will to be done. That's first and foremost a recognition of the sovereignty of God. In effect, it is a way of saying, thank you, God, that this world is under your control, not mine. We'd be in deep trouble if God gave us everything that we asked for. In fact, the truth is we don't know what's best for us. Our asking is based on our limited knowledge, and all too often it's colored by our own self-interest. So I think we can praise God that he doesn't answer every prayer in the way we would like him to answer that prayer. Again, we see a snapshot in time. God sees the overview or the panoply of our lives. So every prayer should be appended by the words, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I mean, Jesus prayed that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wanted the cup to pass over, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus, praying from the perspective of his humanity, knew that this is overwhelming to bear, the cumulative sins of all of humanity, both physically and metaphysically. But he ultimately wanted the Father's will. In other words, he wanted the divine will, which was in the counsel of the Godhead in ages past. And so we ought to follow that example, just as James did. James says, don't pray without that prayer, because otherwise you're praying with presumption. So, yes, we need to humbly bow, just like a child would before his father, recognizing that the Father knows what's best for you. Now, we fathers are imperfect. We don't always know what's best, but God is a perfect Heavenly Father, always knows what is best for us, and cares about us to the degree that not a single hair falls from our heads without him knowing and caring. And that is a beautiful assurance that we can trust God in the circumstances of our life.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. To pray your will be done is daily recognition that our wills must be submitted to his will. And I think one of the most comforting thoughts that can penetrate a human mind yielded to the will of God is that he who created us knows what is best for us. And thus, if we walk according to his will, rather than trying to command him according to our own wills, we'll indeed have, as he promised, not a panacea, but certainly peace in the midst of life's storms. Coming up to a station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Your gifts are needed. We had a disastrous month, quite frankly, in June. We did not reach the goals we needed to reach. That always means cuts. So please stand with us prayerfully and financially. We'll be right back.
What happens when an up-and-coming European bioscientist goes from being a Darwin disciple to a Darwin defector? Sparks fly. Heretic is the story of one scientist's journey from Darwin to design. A fascinating account of what happens when a scientist follows the evidence wherever it leads. To receive your copy of Heretic, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Christians today need to be on the lookout for friendly fire from within the faith. There is a growing wave of former Christian leaders who are now rejecting Christianity and doing their best to make certain that you lose your faith too, which is why it is essential for you to be equipped in your faith. Paul Chamberlain takes these critics head on in his new book, Why People Stop Believing, to equip you with apologetic answers to defend your faith against those who want to see you stop believing. To receive Why People Stop Believing, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial to get your questions answered live on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joe. He's listening in Charleston, South Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. I have a question, and as one tries to live out their faith and flesh it out in the day-to-day existence, some concepts such as when Christ was in the garden and he had this tremendous emotional burden. It wasn't emotional. Perhaps it was emotional and spiritual, but when Christ paid all the sins for everyone, both past, present, and future. What exactly in a theological realm was that? Did all the sins pass before his eyes, or did he accept the emotional pain of that, or a combination thereof? That's probably a little bit vague, but I'm trying to understand what exactly, when Christ paid it all, I trust that by faith, but when he went to the cross, what was the theological process where he did pay it all?
Sure. So if you look at 1 John chapter 2, it's a beautiful text that's worth memorizing where John says, "My dear children, I'm writing to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. That one is Jesus Christ. He is the righteous one." And then John says he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. So to answer your question, Jesus Christ on the cross suffered more than any human being, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity. And that is both physical as well as metaphysical. There were other people throughout history that suffered crucifixion. But Christ suffered crucifixion in a far more dramatic sense. For Christ suffered crucifixion in a sense of bearing all of humanity's ills collectively during his crucifixion. And that is something that we cannot fully codify in words. In fact, the cross Christ bore was an excruciating cross. In fact, the word I'm using right now, excruciating, is a word that was codified to fully communicate the horror of what Christ endured. Denotatively, it means out of the cross, excruciating, out of the cross. And that word applies only to one, Jesus Christ. So if I say I'm in excruciating pain, I'm actually misusing that word in the truest denotative sense of the word. I'm using it in a connotative sense, because that excruciating is a a term that applies to what Christ bore, not just physically, but metaphysically as well. Now, can I explain what that was like? No. There is no way of fully communicating that horror. But it was a horror such that Jesus Christ actually refers to the horror in many, many different ways throughout the biblical text. And so we simply know that he suffered more than all of humanity, and that he suffered for the sins of humanity. And again, why do we know that? Because the biblical authors take the magnifying glass and they put that magnifying glass on the event and say, as John did, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Yes, and when you begin to dwell on that, and I have thought about this lately, when you dwell on it, it just, I think you get a real sense of it's so much easier to thank you. Just to begin your day with thanks when you understand what he did for us. But that's what I was thinking, and I wanted to do research, but thank you very much for your time. That was most helpful.
Well, thank you for your question. And, you know, I have oftentimes, during the appropriate times of the year, pointed out what Jesus Christ went through. I mean, it was not only his torment in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, that took place after an emotional Last Supper. And after that Last Supper in Gethsemane, he experiences this medical condition that is known as hematidrosis. And it's a medical condition in which tiny capillaries in sweat glands, they rupture and they mix sweat with blood. By the way, this is something that has been seen in other people. And that's why we have this medical designation. But it's very, very rare, quite frankly. In this case, Christ's skin is extremely fragile. And it's sort of important to know that because it enhances the sense of what is going to happen when Jesus Christ goes to the cross. Of course, there's metaphysical pain in having Judas betray you, one of the 12, to be disowned by Peter, one of the 12. So those closest to you turn on you. And then he's arrested by the temple guard. And before Caiaphas, before the high priest of the Jewish nation, he's mocked. He's beaten. He's spat upon. And you recall, according to the biblical text, that very next morning, at this time, Jesus is battered. Jesus is bruised. Jesus is bleeding. He's then led into the praetorium. And he's stripped. Think about the indignities of that. He's subjected to the brutality of Roman flogging. And we can pass over that very, very quickly, but this is a whip. A whip that is replete with razor-sharp bones, with lead balls, all of which reduce the body of our Lord to quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh. And then our Lord, our Savior, the creator of the cosmos, the person who knits humanity in their mother's wombs, slumps into the pool of his own blood. You recall the scarlet robe thrust upon his shoulders, the scepter, all a mockery, sharp thorns into his scalp. He's struck on the head repeatedly. And then while he's in critical condition, a heavy wooden beam is thrust upon his bleeding body and then led to Golgotha. And there the Lord experiences ultimate physical torture in the form of the cross. The Romans had perfected crucifixion, fine-tuned it to produce maximum pain. And at the place of the skull, the Roman soldiers drive these 7-inch iron spikes through Christ's hands and his feet. And then there are waves of pain that pulsate through the body of Christ. The nails are lacerating his nerves. Breathing is an agonizing endeavor. Christ is pushing a tortured body now upward to grasp small gulps of air. And then in the ensuing hours, not minutes, but hours, there's joint-wrenching cramps, intermittent asphyxiation, excruciating pain. Christ's lacerated back moving up and down against the rough timber of the cross. And you recall that he cries out as the chill of death starts to creep through his body, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And I think it's in that anguish cry that we have encapsulated the greatest agony of Christ. Because on the cross, Christ bore the sin and suffering of all of humanity. That's why I went to 1 John 2. And then with his passion complete, Jesus gave up the spirit. Well, there's more, of course. The Roman legionnaire driving a spear through the fifth interspace between Christ's ribs, into the pericardium, into the heart. And then from the womb, you have rushing forth blood and water. All of that demonstrating that Christ suffered fatal torment. And this on behalf of the sins of humanity. How great a love God has for us. How great a privilege that through his sanctifying suffering, we can be justified and brought into the fellowship of the Trinity, where we can experience life that is life to the full. Again, as I start the program today, I was talking about the fact that truth matters, but life matters more. We can experience fellowship with the God who created us, just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have embraced that fellowship throughout, well, ages past and in the present. We can experience that. That's what we're destined for. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with the quote of the day and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, the number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Please don't touch that dial.
What happens when defenders of the faith become defectors from the faith? Armed with claims of credibility and an intimate understanding of their former faith, these lapsed leaders prey on the unequipped believer to debunk the faith that they themselves once believed and promoted, to make certain that you stop believing too. In his new book, Why People Stop Believing, Paul Chamberlain examines the arguments that former Christians claim compelled them to call it quits on Christianity, and carefully deconstructs these critiques so you too can defend your faith against the defectors from it. To receive Why People Stop Believing, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. What happens when an up-and-coming European scientist follows the evidence and flips from Darwin disciple to Darwin defector? Confrontation and heat. Just ask biochemist Matti Laisola. In the new book, Heretic, Professor Laisola tells his story, starting when a student loaned the Finnish scientist a book criticizing evolutionary theory. Laisola reacted angrily and set out to defend evolution, but found his efforts raised more questions than they answered. He soon morphed into a full-on Darwin skeptic, even as he was on his way to becoming a leading bioengineer. To receive your copy of Heretic, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Andrew Fletcher. He's a 17th century Scottish writer and politician and commissioner of the old Parliament of Scotland. And he said that if a man were permitted to make all the ballads, he need not care who should make the laws of a nation. And we find that most of the ancient legislators thought that they could not well reform the manners of any city without the help of a lyric, and sometimes of a dramatic poet. This is often paraphrased and attributed to Napoleon, the idea that if you control the media and the music of the world, You care not who makes its laws. And unfortunately today, the media and the music of the world are painting a narrative which is simply demonstrably false. And again, we as Christians must always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Richard in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yes, I have a question. I'd like to have a follow-up. And my question is that God is Jehovah, Christ is Jesus. Why does the Holy Spirit doesn't have a name? And my second question to that is, Jesus said to be Jesus Christ-like, so he left up the Holy Spirit. Now, my understanding, we have 9 gifts in the Holy Spirit. And why, as human beings, we cannot develop all those 9 gifts? I mean, we have them there, but we can't develop. Something we're not doing right, that we're not able to develop those 9 gifts. Do we have a Holy Spirit that specializes in one gift and that's it? Or we have the Holy Spirit that has the 9 gifts, but we specialize in one special gift?
Well, you know, we have been given gifts according to the grace given us, says Paul in Romans chapter 12. So whatever your gift, you need to use it in accordance to your faith. So if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do that cheerfully. So we have different gifts. And the Holy Spirit is the one who activates those gifts within us. That is his grace as he works within us to use our particular gifts. Now, we also have many different responsibilities. And those responsibilities are responsibilities that run across the spectrum of Christians. So, for example, giving may be a gift on the one hand, but Christians on a broad base must exercise giving because it is not only a gift that some have, but it is a responsibility for all of us in accordance with the graces God gives to us. In terms of names, however, remember the name of God, and we only have one God, is Yahweh. In fact, these are the unspeakable 4 letters that I just spoke, which is a bit counterintuitive. This is a tetragrammaton. It represents the name of God, a name which carries with it the concept of eternal self-existence. And as such, it is not only applied to God the Father, it is also applied to Christ and applied to the Holy Spirit. In terms of being applied to Christ, you can look in Romans 10:13, where calling on Yahweh and calling on Jesus Christ are equated, which demonstrates that Jesus Christ is God. Also, the Apostle John wrote that Isaiah saw the glory of Jesus. The glory of Jesus and the glory of God are thus equated. And I think in terms of answering questions like this, we are well served to know the creeds. It's one of the reasons that I like to recite the Nicene Creed. It is recited in churches all over the world. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, not in many gods, but one God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father through whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate and suffered and was buried. And he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom shall have no end. And in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Creator of life, who proceeds from the Father, who together with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. By the way, Catholic there does not mean Roman Catholic. It means universal. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Amen. I don't think you can do any better than that because you have here a clear assertion of one God revealed in three subjects eternally distinct. And as I've said many times in the Bible Instrument broadcast, this is something that we can apprehend, but not something that we can comprehend. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Dave in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate what you're doing. And I just wanted to ask a question about Judges chapter 11, the story of Jephthah the Gileadite. I wanted to see how you think he paid his vow and just kind of grappling with how to pay a vow in a way, you know, because God, you know, in the Ten Commandments says thou shalt not kill and stuff like that. And then Matthew Henry says, well, he didn't actually kill his daughter and stuff like that. So I just wanted to get your take on that and maybe what application it has for a Christian today.
Yeah, I think Matthew Henry is right. Jephthah offered his daughter not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice, because for the rest of her life, she would remain a virgin. And that's exactly what the text tells us. If you look at, I can't recall the exact verse off the top of my head, but the verse later on in the text makes perfectly clear that Jephthah's daughter did not go out and mourn her impending death, but rather she went out with her friends and mourned her perpetual virginity. And in that culture, not to bring children to the world, not to continue the lineage of your father, of course, would have been a tremendous sacrifice. Now, there are Christians who contend that this really was a human sacrifice, but Jephthah, I don't think, was offering this human sacrifice because he would not have compounded one sin, listen to making a foolish vow, by committing a much greater sin, the sin of making a human sacrifice. He was a judge of Israel, and he was not allowed to practice the detestable ways of the surrounding pagan nations. And that included not being allowed to sacrifice a human being in the fire, which would have been a sin of gargantuan proportions. You know, you look at the biblical text in Deuteronomy and you see that you must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of very detestable things that the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. And then you have a contrast when you look at Ahaz. What did he do? Well, he followed the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. But what Jephthah did was keep his vow, rightly understood. He offered his daughter as a living sacrifice by not allowing her to enter into marriage and therefore not continuing his line, his lineage. So he made a foolish vow, but he did exercise the sacrifice of offering up his daughter to perpetual virginity, and I think that's what's going on in Judges chapter 11. Well, application for today, well, don't make foolish vows, number one, and never follow the detestable ways of the pagan nations, because we are to be separate. We're called out to be separate from the world. We're in the world, we're not of the world. So rather than practicing the detestable ways of the nations or the ways of the world, we ought to be counter-revolutionaries. That's what Jesus was. You think about a detestable practice in the time of Jesus. Women were considered chattel, property of men. Jesus comes into that culture and doesn't practice those detestable things. Rather, he elevates women to complete ontological equality with men. So, counterculture. We ought to counter the culture. We ought to conform the culture to Christ rather than being conformed to the culture ourselves.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your question. And we have some callers that I'm not going to get to today. Call me back tomorrow. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember that we rely on people to support this ministry. And without that support, we simply have to make cuts. We typically, in the month of June, get whole. We didn't this month, last month, I should say, in June. So again, we do what we do as God makes our ministry possible through the generosity of God's people who invest resources in this ministry. We're grateful for all of you that do so. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And when you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. Resources available to equip you when you give. Again, check it out at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.